scripture I went to, when I wanted to preach the message that I wanted to get to, I started with this one, and then I had to back all the way up to Genesis 3:15 and start from there, come into the Old Testament. We'll probably bounce back to the Old Testament. I don't know how long we'll go with this or where we'll go, but we're going to start Matthew 1:18 talking about the birth of Jesus. It's hard to preach on it around December because everybody's all involved in Christmas. Pagan holiday out there that everybody wants to worship Santa Claus and all the gifts and giving and Christmas lights and Christmas trees like they're all holy things or something. But we won't talk about the seriousness of all things. We will talk about the birth of our Savior. We've been looking at the necessity and why it was that Jesus Christ had to be born, had to live on this earth, had to die, had to be ascended up, set on the right hand, fall on high. We had to look at all this and go through it all in order to understand the necessity of it all. And the necessity of it all is we're sinners. We're just sinners. We have sinned against God. We were born sinners. We received iniquity. We came from our mother's womb speaking lies, and because of our forefather Adam, we are all born sinners. That's what we are. And no other person could have ever been born, no other soul could have ever been born to have redeemed us from sin. No other animal could ever take our sins away. We're talking about eternal salvation, everlasting life. We're talking about something that never goes away, never ends. We know why we're at this point. It's because Adam and Eve sinned. It's because Satan slivered up to, at that time, he did it on his belly because God put him on his belly as punishment. But he went to Eve in the form of a serpent and had a conversation with her, and she fell for the temptation because she was a weaker vessel. And Satan used her to get to Adam, and because of her sin, Adam sinned, and because of Adam sinned, we all sinned. God promised in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, that is the seed of the woman, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So we see the seed of the woman. What is the seed of the woman? It's the seed of Mary, isn't it? Jesus Christ had no human father. You know, I read a lot of commentary on this, and I find where a lot of people talk about debates on it. I don't look at debates. I don't care about debates. I don't hear about debates. To me, if it's scripture, scripture, there is no debate. And I don't care what other people have to say. The fact is that Mary was a virgin and she bore a child, and that child was the Son of the living God. Nothing else needs to be discussed. Nothing else needs to be talked about what virgin means or what his birth was about or anything. He's the Son of God. Well, he's the Son of Mary, he's the Son of God. We went through this in the incarnation and all of that to get to this point. So we see in verse 18 of Matthew 1, now the birth of Jesus Christ was unwise when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Now, nothing else matters. Her and Joseph did not have premarital sex. I get tired of people and their comments on that kind of stuff. God says, before they came together, not in marriage, but in sex and marriage, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost, not of Joseph, not of any man, but of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He didn't know what was going on, did he? Did Joseph have any idea right now, at this point, why Mary was pregnant with child? No. No. But he didn't just cast her away, did he? Only why? See, God puts hearts in us. And God guides those hearts. And God guided Joseph's heart not to put away his public shame. Today, it's not a public shame. You get married, you can get pregnant by your own brother, and it's not a public shame anymore. By your own father, it's not a public shame anymore. I mean, you know, we accept things today as good that's so horrible you can't even, you don't even want to talk about it. But then it was public shame. For a woman to be impregnated before she was married was public shame. It says in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not unto thee, Mary, Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, and it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. We looked at that in Isaiah, didn't we? Isaiah was several hundred years before this. And he prophesied these very things, did he not? Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord bid him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and his name was called Jesus. Is there any debate on that? Is there any reason to question that? No. God has explained it in perfect detail. There, you can add nothing to it, you can take nothing. God does that, doesn't he? The problem is, people refuse to listen to the Word of God. I put an article online this morning on assumption. One of my friends up in Kentucky used the word assumption and described it to people, and they caught my eye. People assume a lot, don't they? Assumptions will lead you away from the truth. The truth is the truth. Assumptions is something you think to be true, but it can't prove it. Hope I got that right, Frank. So we want to start today by looking at this, and the Lord promised in Genesis 3:15 to that the seed of the woman, which would be Jesus Christ, spoken of thousands of years before he was ever born, because there's no other woman that had a seed outside of Mary, because all children are the seed of man. So it took the disaster of Adam and Eve that they brought upon mankind to bring Jesus Christ into this world. But God already knew it, didn't he? God had already foreordained that Adam and Eve would sin, didn't he? Jesus Christ was the union of divine and human nature. In the incarnation of Christ, by the power of the Spirit, in the womb of the Virgin Mary. That's what Brother W. E. Babb said in his book on the subject. He's right. Jesus Christ was a two-natured person, the only one to be. He had the nature of God, and he had the nature of man. Go back to Isaiah chapter 7, if you will. So we see that God, through the prophet Isaiah, prophesied this miracle right here we're looking at in Matthew chapter 1. He says in verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive." A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Isn't that something? Several hundred years before Jesus Christ was born, is already ordained that he be a son. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And what do we see here in Matthew? In fact, we see in this text Isaiah 7:14 being quoted, don't we? Go to Galatians chapter 4. So whatever was done to make this woman, Mary, to be with child was done by the power of God, wasn't it? By the power of the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, is the way you want to look at it. So God took and impregnated Mary. I have no idea what that means. I have no idea what God did. Did God put a seed in her womb to cause her a child? They just miraculously appear and make a child be there. I don't know what he did. We're going to go to the scripture in a minute to talk about it further. But whatever happened to make Mary with child happened under the power of God through the doings of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, "But when the fullness of time was come, God set forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that he might receive the adoption of sons." When the fullness of time was come, it was prophesied over there in Isaiah 7. We see when the fullness of time come, didn't we? And about before Christ, 03 or somewhere in that neighborhood, 02. We see Mary, a virgin with child of God, by the influence, by the power, by the doings of God. He was made of a woman, not a man. He had no man in his life as a father. I have a father, we all have fathers, don't we? Dad. Man, we might not want to call them dad, but that's what they were. My dad was a filthy drunk who beat his wife, beat his children, and run his children off from home. He was just a horrible person. But he's still my dad. He's still my father. He still fathered me. Right? But this child was made of a woman, the seed of the woman. He was made under the law. He was made to live under the law. We're not, as far as that goes, because we live under grace, don't we? We fail. We fail before we were born. When we were conceived, we were sinners. When we were in our mother's womb, we were sinners. And what does the Lord say we did when we exited the womb? We came speaking lies. Jesus Christ wasn't like that. Every one of the preachers at the conference saying, he wasn't like that. He was a perfect child. I couldn't imagine what a perfect child would be like. But he was, wasn't he? Everything God pre-planned, everything God ordained, we see come to realization right here in and his passage of scripture. And people want to try to tear it apart with assumptions. Trying to explain why this didn't happen, that didn't happen, why you're misunderstanding this or that. I understand that I may be wrong on some things the Word of God, this is not one of them. The supernatural birth was a necessity because Jesus Christ was not just another man. He was a son of the living God. If he was born like all other men, he would have been disqualified to be the Christ. He would have been disqualified to have been a Savior, wasn't he? In John chapter 1, let's go to John chapter 1. Let's go to our second point. I'm going to turn the page too fast. Three things must have been for Jesus to have been our true Redeemer. Three things. Christ's incarnation demanded a perfect human nature. It demanded a perfect man, a perfect lamb, a perfect sacrifice. One without spot and one without blemish. So we go to John chapter 1 and we see in verse 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus wasn't just with God. He was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. What's that tell you? He was there when God created the heavens and the earth. Before God created anything, Jesus Christ existed. He's God. And without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The only begotten of the Father. So, any way you look at Jesus Christ, he's the Son of God, isn't he? Nothing can take away from the fact of who he is. He's also the son of the seed, of the woman, isn't he? So whether he's the son of God or the son of Mary, it doesn't matter. He never sinned. He was completely holy in every area. He never had a thought or imagination that was sinful. And he never had a deed about him that was sinful. He never lied or ever said anything that wasn't true. Go to Hebrews. Let's see where I'm at here. I think I may be turning too fast here. Oh, yeah. Let's go back. Let's go to Micah chapter 5. Trying to get ahead of myself. I keep watching that clock. I need to quit watching. The place of his birth and time must have been correct. It's all prophesied, isn't it? Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be the ruler of Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So he must have been born in Bethlehem. There's another one, isn't it? Hundreds of years before he was born, prophesied. Go to Matthew chapter 2. In verse 1 it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born of the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Why were they troubled? You know who these people are? I never have gotten why they were troubled. It's because God never told them Jesus was the Christ. He never told anybody. They never listened to God. They run around, they live lives assuming things, but they need to listen to God. These people taught the Word of God. They understood. They did it all like we do. They were wrong. They were troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. When they said unto him, Bethlehem in Judea. They knew, did they not? They told him where he would be born. Well, this is written by the prophet. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor, he shall rule my people, Israel. I mean, they're quoting the prophet, aren't they? But they didn't know. What could they not know? This has puzzled me for decades. How these people, the Jews, understood these things. They taught these scriptures. They probably had them memorized. Matthew writes an account here that is prophesied in the Old Testament, but they just didn't know, did they? Is it just me, or does that seem strange to you? I know why they didn't, because God never showed it to them. If God doesn't show it to you, it's never going to be truth. God is our teacher of truth. Have I not taught this over the last several years? The only truth we really believe, the only true truth we ever believe, the Holy Spirit gives us. See, God has a plan. And God's plan before the foundation of the world is being worked out in time. So God chose the nation of Israel in the Old Testament to be his chosen nation. But his chosen people did not include all of his chosen nation. Just because people are biblical knowledge, when I say that, you can find kids in elementary school who probably quote the book of John. I can't, but they can. I'm thinking, if I was as smart as a child as some of the children today, I could have done a lot, right? They wasted, but I did. I wouldn't have. I probably would have. I mean, can you imagine if we could just Google everything? Sit in class, you know, teacher tells teaching, you got the phone out, you're Googling. Yeah, I know the answer to that. But just because you know Scripture, don't mean you know what the scriptures are. These people taught these scriptures in the Old Testament. They didn't understand. They missed the Messiah. They're still waiting on him. 2,000 years later, they're still waiting on their Christ. Third, so we see, let me go back so I don't get this. The first point was Christ's incarnation demanded a perfect human nature. We see that he was God, God in the flesh. Second, the place of his birth and time must have been correct. And we see in Malachi and Matthew and Isaiah that that's all true, right? Correct. Third, his birth must have been from the womb of a virgin. Now, if you didn't catch the first one, and you didn't catch the second one, the third one's kind of hard to miss, isn't it? I mean, I venture to say, even 2,000 years ago, that not very many virgins had children. In fact, I can count all of them that I know about with one finger. And over 2,000 years later, when we accept everything, when we're trying to say that men who are transsexuals can have children, which isn't true either, I can also count the number of virgins in the history of this world that have children. I can still count it with one finger. So his birth must have been from the womb of a virgin. Being born of a virgin was in order that he might have a perfect human nature. The incarnate Son of God, and I'm going to quote Bass here again, the eternal Son assumed a nature, not a person, in the incarnation. The nature is called the holy thing, the seed of Abraham, and the form of a servant. All three of them. Go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 35. Remember, Beth said three things. The incarnate Son of God, the eternal Son of God, assumed a nature. And in the incarnation, the nature is called a holy thing, the seed of Abraham, and the form of a servant. In verse 35 of Luke 1, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. There he is. He called the holy thing, isn't he? What's meant by the power of the High shall overshadow thee? I found definition in the pulpit commentary. With this definition, the Word was conceived in the Word Jesus Christ, the Word, was conceived in the womb of woman, not after the manner of man, but by the singular power, invisible, immediate operation of the Holy Ghost, whereby a virgin was, beyond the law of nature, enabled to conceive, and that which was conceived in her was originally and completely satisfied. I agree. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. And let's look at the next one, which is the seed of Abraham. Verse 16, it says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, through the Virgin Mary as his mother. So his mother's lineage world goes back to Abraham. See, what this does, it breaks down two things. The holy thing that the Holy Spirit inserted Mary with to cause her to be impregnated made him a holy thing, which was the Son of God. Him being born of Mary makes him of the lineage of Mary, going back to his father, earthly father, Abraham. Not that he fathered him, but his lineage goes back, like all of us go back to Adam. His doesn't, because he just goes back to his mother. I mean, through his mother he does, but not through any father. Anyway, he is of the seed. He took on the seed of Abraham, the human side of him. So we see the deity, we see the human side. And fourth, let's go, he went on to say, his deity required the virgin birth because there is a difference between humanity and ours. The incorruptible could not unite with the corruptible. The holy could not unite with unholiness. But he was of the seed of Abraham through his mother, Mary. He was the seed of the woman. The supernatural birth by a virgin through the power of the Holy Spirit is the reason it took a miracle. No woman's ever done it before. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 1. I'm trying to finish this. I got 10 minutes. So if I'm not explaining it right, I'm sorry. I'm trying my best. I'm just in a hurry with it. The conception of Christ, next point is, our third point, the conception of Christ took place before Joseph and Mary came together and married. In verse 18 of Matthew 1, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was unwise when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with a child, not of another man, but of the Holy Ghost. People can doubt all they want to. They can define the scripture any way they want to. They can argue with anything, any assumption they want to. They make everything they choose, but God said before they were came together, and you can't figure those words out, I'll explain them to you. I'm sure all of you can. She was with a child. So, Joseph was not Jesus' father. But Joseph was Jesus' stepfather. The son of God, the son of the king, David, and one day will occupy the throne of King David on this earth. Therefore, it would be impossible for Joseph to have been his father because he's through Abraham, the lineage. So eliminate the false noise. Listen to the word of God. The tremendous honor bestowed upon Mary, his mother, must not be passed by without looking at the awful burden coupled with this honor. What a horrible time it must have been for these two souls. The rumor and the lie. I mean, they're strong today, even with the society we live in. Imagine what they were 2,000 years ago. But Joseph was a good and godly man, wasn't he? Listen, folks, just because people sin doesn't mean we cast them out. Please. Just because people sin does not mean you have to be excluded from the church. An outcast. Kicked out. Told not to
come back. We are all sinners. We sin every day.
Mary done nothing wrong. But people talked. That's the problem with people. We talk too much. My father used to tell me when I was a young preacher, still tongue like the wild head. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, he could have, couldn't he? He could have said, you slut, get away from me. Get out of here. But Joseph, being a just man, said, well, God told him. No, God told him after this fact. Joseph was a just man because he was a Christian. He was a man of God, a man that believed in the Word of God. Not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now, verse 20 it says, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not, take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. That settled it, didn't he? He may have debated this in his heart, but he wasn't going to do it, and he didn't do it. And after God told him this, he definitely did not do it. Let's go to our conclusion. Our fourth point is our conclusion. We're going to Romans 3 and 1 Timothy 2. I've got to go through this quickly. The virgin birth is how the human nature of Jesus Christ is clear of original sin. Jesus had no human father. While he was from and through the seed of David, seed of Abraham, he was not of the seed, he was also of the seed of God. No human father, he was a supernatural born child. A miracle. Only one's ever been that way. The only birth by virgin. The only birth that had no man involved in it. Go to Romans 8, if you will. He was not born sinful flesh. Look at verse 3 of Romans 8. When Paul wrote these words, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. In the likeness of it. Not in, we're all sinful flesh. Jesus was in the likeness. What God wants that to tell us is, he was just like us as a human being, except he had no sin. Don't always put his deity, and that's the reason he didn't sin, or his deity. That's right. You know why we're sinners? You know why no person ever born has ever had a chance not to sin? Because we were condemned when Adam sinned. So we're born with that nature about us, aren't we? This supernatural birth, second or third, this supernatural birth must be acknowledged. It must be acknowledged that God, that he is God, man. Jesus was born with two natures, that of Mary, the seed of the woman, and that of God. He was not half man, half God.
Don't ever say that. He's a God-man. He's not half God, half man. He's a God-man. He's 100% God. He's 100% man. That's supernatural. We'll end with this scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Who is it? The man Christ Jesus gave his life on that cross as a ransom for all the elect of God to be testified in due time, and that's what I'm doing today. I'm testifying of it. You testify of it. We testify of it. We go to the world and we tell them that Jesus Christ is the Savior of mankind. He's the only Savior, only redemption, the only mediator. God's Word defines it to the T here. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The man who lived, the man who was suffered, and the man who gave up the ghost on that cross. And the man that rose from that grave, and the man that sits on the right hand of the Father on high. Next week, we'll look at another topic, and we'll bounce back and forth, Old Testament, New Testament. We've got several more points we're going to look at, several more messages. So I hope you have a good week. God bless you, and we'll see you.